Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From the moment it was announced, religious leaders have fought to keep this 9-foot, one-ton symbol of Satan from setting foot in Detroit.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy. Episode 397.
Ooh.
We're coming up on it.
Yeah.
The big 500. Only 103 episodes away. Wow.
Yeah. You got any 500 plans, Tommy?
So what's that? Just under two years.
Yeah. Just
minus one week.
Yeah, 2 years and a 1 year and 51 weeks.
Yeah.
My name's Adam Knox, by the way.
Finally.
Damn.
I've been very hesitant to ask.
You've been calling me champ for years.
Yeah. That's what I was planning to do for Ep 500, was finally reveal what your name is.
Yeah, it's like there's got to be a sitcom character where the janitor in Scrubs.
Yeah.
You ever find out his name?
I think you do.
Like Janice Itor or something
No, it's just like Ron, Smith or some, it's
sorry
nothing.
For Scrubs spoilers too. Mm. We should have warned ahead of time for that.
Mr. Scrub, because he's the janitor.
I guess.
Could have made that his name.
Yeah, maybe the show should have. It was actually secretly about him.
It was, yeah.
Well, you finally found out Mr. Big's name at the end of Sex and the City.
What did you?
Yeah.
What's Mr. Big's name?
It's like Chris or something.
It's always so. They should. Yeah. If you've got a hidden, like a character in a sitcom with a hidden name, the name should always be like Xanathor or something like that at the end of the series.
It's not that, by the way. I know we're going to get comments about this. I know it's okay. But it's like some very. The whole thing being like, oh, you've never found out his name. And then final episode, Carrie's phone's ringing and you just see his name on it.
Right,
and she's like, oh,
Jason
Mr.
Biggs.
But yeah, having that be the big end reveal, it's like, you deliberately hide a character's name and then it's like, oh, yeah, it's just a man's name.
Yeah, it's just like, John Smith.
Yeah, he's a man of a certain generation.
Mm.
He's not going to have some crazy name.
He's not Jaden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name should have been New York. And then it's like when we were saying New York's the fifth main character in the show.
Oh, sure.
We were talking about this dude.
Yeah.
The guy that never sleeps.
Yeah, because he's always rootin' Carrie.
Mr. Big Apple.
Yes.
These are all better options than whatever it is, John Smith.
If they ever do a Half-Life 3, I want it to end with Gordon Freeman saying something. He's like probably the most famous, I guess, still voiceless protagonist.
Yeah.
And I would love for him to be like, job done right at the end, like just a real lame.
Or he's like, he just sounds like he's like, woohoo!
yeah.
It's a me, Gordon Freeman.
I dealt with the alien. Yeah. Some, but I would love to get not that we'll ever get Half-Life 3, probably still, but.
Yeah,
maybe
no.
One day.
Though there's a few more generations of the Steam Deck to be produced. There's a lot of money to be wrung out of the Steam store.
What other examples are there of a creative team that's like not making a new product, a new piece of art, because they're too busy running a shop? You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, imagine Scorsese getting out of the filmmaking game after like, what? Goodfellas?
Sure.
And it's just like, when are you going to make a new film? He's like, guys, I'm running a blockbuster video here. I'm flat out.
It's really successful.
I'm making so much more money.
Yeah.
It's funny that Valve's trajectory has been the same as like 95% of people who get into a creative industry, where at some point they're like, I kind of dropped all the creative stuff just because I got more busy with work and I just had to have something stable to rely
and
on.
I mean, it used to be a release at the end of the day, but it's like, with the kids and everything, I get home from work, I'm just too tired.
Yeah.
And I'm providing. It doesn't really matter.
Valve's dad, like, I guess Sierra online, being like, you gotta have a plan B, Valve.
Yeah.
Shut up, Dad. I'm gonna be making Half-Life games forever.
But it is so strange because, like, you hear a lot of the time it's like the thing that is the biggest obstacle in the way is just not having that capital, right? And they've got that.
Yes.
It's like they've got the thing that every other company is like, you don't have the financial pressures or worries. You know that everyone's going to buy this game. Mm. You've got this other thing keeping you afloat.
Mm.
Like, this is the dream scenario to be in.
Yeah. And they did it like 3 years ago. They made Half-Life Alyx. They can still make games. So
that's
I still think that one day we'll get it.
They've proven that they can still make the best game.
Right. That is the best VR game.
Yeah.
Mm.
What, 6 years more after VR has become, when we're at the tail end of people believing that VR is a thing that will matter ever to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Apple's probably going to announce a VR headset on Monday.
Which will make it like a household thing that everyone has.
Maybe, but I've been looking at... I've got some weird fucking addiction to VR stuff, man. I've got like a real problem. I'm a real VR head.
You're like that,
where you put him.
Like the guy in, I think, Minority Report, who's like, yeah, he goes to the VR arcade every day to like have sex with, you know, virtual women. He's been jacked in for 4 days.
I'm the guy from The Matrix who's like, give me the fucking steak, dude. I don't care if it's real.
Cypher.
I will blow
is
up.
His name.
I will blow up the ship.
Yep.
And the ship is my life in order to be able to afford. Or VR thing, but
you've owned over the course of your life, by my count, 4 VR headsets,
brother. It ain't even over the course of my life; it's over the course of the last 6 years. Which is
what about
a smaller proportion?
I thought you were 7. Anyway,
Google Cardboard. Oh, the
Labo.
The Labo.
I do have the Labo one, and I've never even opened it.
Yeah,
because
it was no good.
I've had 3: the Labo, the PSVR 1, and the Oculus.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah.
But
which is still not mentally well, but it's not 6.
Yeah.
So the VR thing, I think it's probably AR stuff that Apple will be announcing. Is the rumors on they've got that
Apple Reality
WWDC thing? What would dumb do? The C and the D were the other way around in my head, so I was like, "Oh, what would Jesus do?" Anyway,
I think you got to be of a certain taste to get into AR stuff because it's all pirate themed, right?
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah,
that
cool.
Took your breath away, Knox.
By the way, for the people watching this on the YouTube,
accurate.
For the people watching this on the YouTube channel, we should say, if you're listening to this, we're now putting the episodes up on the YouTube.
Yeah, get
we're
around
in the studio. You can watch the show if you'd rather.
Yeah, we're messing around with our angles and shit.
Yeah, we've changed.
I'm
the setup.
I'm always trying to find an angle, man.
I'm going alt-right.
Oh no, don't. People believe it on podcasts.
That's what AR stands for. The Apple alt-right.
Shit. Oh fuck. If Apple comes out at their big press conference and is like, here's the thing with COVID, right?
Yeah.
It's actually bullshit. And
presenting it, it's like Milo Yiannopoulos and Alex Jones.
Yeah.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah. Mm. But anyway, if you're watching this on the YouTube, we've played around with the format of the room.
Yeah.
And I do feel like you guys have just killed the stand-up spot on my Tonight Show.
Mm.
And I've welcomed you onto the couch.
Yeah. We're on a couch.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to start fucking.
Yeah.
That's the funny couch joke that I love.
There's
to
a
make.
Big distance between you
Whenever
guys.
Whenever I
couch.
See a couch on film.
Yeah.
This is the porn couch as well, to be fair. We are in a porn studio of our own making.
Mm.
Porn stands for pretty awesome. No, it doesn't. Fuck. I can't do any letter stuff today.
Yeah.
You could have been spelling the word porn like from chess.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've always thought it means. I'm the most naive guy in the world.
Yeah.
But anyway, that Apple thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
It won't open it up necessarily because it's going to be very expensive by all accounts. I'm really interested to see what that is and if it has any relevance to video game stuff because Apple typically does not.
Or only on a very casual level, which tends to make the most money. Like,
it could be a big deal.
Having said that, I don't know how you make Candy Crush VR something that, you know.
Well, this is the thing is like there have been a couple of very interesting like video games in VR, Half-Life Alyx, Astrobot, Beat Saber is a good example. But I feel like a lot of the current approaches to the tech of it are let's make it as expensive and therefore inaccessible as possible.
Right.
All these headsets coming out that can do all this amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's not enough of an audience base for developers to make interesting games on it, then what does it matter?
Well, that's why the Quest was so interesting is that it was the affordable one. Comparatively.
Yeah.
And Apple's won't be that, but the Appleness. I it's all from rumors, and you get every different version of every rumor you could imagine coming out of any Apple related thing.
There's
an entire website that's quite popular called Mac Rumors.
Yeah, yes.
And that's all that is on there is them just going like, I reckon there's gonna be a keyboard. And it's like, oh yeah.
Watch this headset announcement have the second big Beat Saber trailer.
Oh, we've
seen in the last fortnight. It's like, that's always the thing that gets wheeled out, and it's like, we know it's on there.
There might be a tiny little tiny wedge of it that is like an Apple Arcade will work on the headset and it'll have Beat Saber or whatever. I'm not expecting it to be a big video gamey thing, but I am interested.
That workplace kind of thing that they're, what's the Oculus?
The Meta, like,
the really, MetaQuest really Pro, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, you can have meetings in it.
Right.
Yeah. Oculus is my like Safeway that I can't change it to Woolworths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the same way. It'll always be
Spencer
Oculus.
Street Station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm never
it's the Great War.
I will say
it's World War II is it.
With the price thing.
Yeah.
Apple made smartphones desirable and a necessary item to have for most people in like the first world, and they are ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
You know, they've normalized something, a phone that costs $1,600. Like, it's crazy that we just buy into
that. But it gets absorbed into the cost of your phone plan each month.
Yeah.
So it's easy enough to not think about it.
Yeah.
Is the trick there. Whereas, yeah, with any of this other tech,
but
you don't really have that as an option.
Their laptops are still very expensive compared to, like, most people who are buying a MacBook could get away with a Chromebook.
Totally.
Absolutely. But, yes. But, yeah.
So, yeah, I do think that they're – I'm super – I think that's on, I guess, Tuesday our time.
Right.
The Apple thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't Worldwide Developers Conference. I think that's what it really stands for. Not what would dumb
Yeah.
But I want to see the Worldwide Pants Conference.
Oh,
get Letterman out there.
Yeah, Dave's back.
New.
I guess Ray Romano.
Yeah,
sure.
And then you're kind of out of people.
Yeah. Biff's got his own reality show.
That's a good presentation.
Yeah,
just Letterman telling you what he plans to get up to for the next year.
Sure.
I tune into that.
Another season of his show.
Yep.
The what was the guy at the deli?
Oh, fuck. What was his name?
Richard? Mr. Big?
Mr. Big.
Mr. Big Apple?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Rupert.
Rupert's Deli.
It's a big universe.
This is an infuriating episode to listen to as a fan of TV. If you know the names of characters on TV shows, this is sending you up the wall.
Sorry. I mean, what did you expect from this video games podcast?
True.
So I'm keen to see that next week.
Yeah.
But there's been other news that's already come out and been confirmed.
Yeah.
Or all reported on.
Yeah,
we're still feeling, I feel like there's been a bit of a ripple effect during the week from the PlayStation showcase.
The aftershocks.
Yeah.
We're sort of in the midst of the not E3.
Mm.
E3
season. We're building up to it. Yeah, yeah.
Xbox's one is in a week or something. When is Summer Games Fest? Is that this weekend or next weekend or
it's
something?
It's got to be really. Yeah, I think so.
There's a Devolver thing in the next week, I think.
Cool.
Yep.
But Naughty Dog felt compelled to put out a statement during the week because a lot of people were wondering where that Last of Us multiplayer was in the showcase. I think that might have been the one big thing where people were like certain that was going to happen.
Well, it's been long enough since the game, since the sequel came out.
It's been ages that
it's, what,
this has
2 years?
Been known about. Because I think like a year and a half ago at the Game Awards, didn't like Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson come on stage? Or was that 6 months ago?
Maybe.
And they were like, they were talking about the remake as well. I don't remember, but they mentioned it during that portion when they were hyping up the show, and that might have been a couple of years ago now.
Yeah,
or whatever it was.
Yeah, because the show was last year.
That was this year.
That was this year.
God.
It was my brother.
Moments ago.
Oh God.
Yeah. But so 10 years ago when they started talking about the Last of Us show.
But I guess Last of Us 2 came out 2021.
2020. Get this guy a calendar and wrap it around your neck to kill yourself.
Well, it's been even longer than I thought between, that game coming out and then the semi non-DLC but multiplayer add-on-y thing. Like, you would have expected it by now.
Or any announcement of any new thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
They'd been mentioning around when Part 2 came out that they're going to have a separate thing.
Yeah, because
I believe
people would have expected it to be packed in, and so they had to manage that expectation.
Yeah.
So whatever the case may be,
it's not coming out anytime soon.
We've known about it for ages. They've had long enough to work on it that we should have been seeing something. But
You sounded like a very overbearing boss then. They've had long enough to work on it. We should be seeing something.
I've been reading Press Reset. No. Blood, Sweat and Pixels.
I've been reading Press Reset.
Oh no, I've got it loaded up for next. I've got been Blood Meridian Ulysses on there to show up. That sounded like an overbearing boss in an art gallery being like, "Oh, you've been playing Ulysses with blocks, have you?" I've been playing with a steam engine.
I actually haven't. I've been reading Philip K. Dick books, which are much more accessible and very fun. Highly recommend them.
The scuttlebutt about this Last of Us multiplayer thing that I have seen is
on macrumors.com.
Yeah. Just I've been scrolling through the comments and
in the like unrelated part of the forum. Yeah. I love that on any forum back in the day.
There's always mattress should I get? Why are you asking here? This is a drill forum.
One room in the Futurama message board where it's like just talk about anything.
Off topic.
Yeah.
Did you guys see like grilled cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we should call our bonus podcast. Off topic.
Off topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the logo can look like Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, delete that part out of the podcast. But so the scuttlebutt is that Bungie, who, you know, have a close relationship with Sony, had a little, they popped their head around the door Miyamoto style looking at that animal game from Rare and being like, you should chuck Star Fox in there. They poked their head into the Last of Us multiplayer game and said, how come this isn't infinite and monetized?
Right.
Basically, like saying, why aren't they making this with a similar
live service?
We made Destiny, and now I'm wearing a crown at all times because I'm the richest person in the world. Well, you don't need to be the richest person in the world. You can just be at a Hungry Jack's and you can wear a crown all the time.
It would be a shit crown. This person's wearing a legitimate
fancy crown,
golden crown.
And the game has been set back a fair way to be restructured. The implication of that rumor being that they had made it as a self-contained fun game that would be like enjoyable to play at release.
Yeah, good value for money.
And,
yeah.
And that it had like some story woven through it and that it was multiplayer, but set in this world with a story going through.
Because
and that
they're
it
Naughty
being
Dog and that's what they do really well.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's what all the people there would think to make. Mm-hmm. And then,
because they have integrity.
Someone else has fucking come along and so Bungie kind of fucking tattled on them to Sony.
Right.
And Sony's been like, oh yeah, why aren't you making this a money factory, which I understand business-wise.
Sure, but because I hadn't heard any of that from Bungie, and I'd been thinking about this during the week that
they haven't been telling you that stuff?
No.
We've been on the phone with them every day.
Yeah.
Fuck, you're not as close a friend with Bungie as you thought.
I've been talking to Naughty Dog as well, and they've been complaining about how all the pets at their office are depressed because they keep thinking they're getting told off anytime someone says the company's name. There's a bunch of like office dogs where they're like, oh man, what
it's
did
probably
I do?
Ironically like a no pets office.
All the pets would just leave after all the fucking abuse.
Yeah,
that explains a lot. I fired up Last of Us the other day and then my dog went and sulked in the corner for the rest of the day. My dog can read. He's a genius.
Okay, new podcast. It's all about the dog who can read.
I had assumed that maybe a bit of the developmental trouble was because, I've been reading Press Reset and it's really interesting reading those books or those kinds of books when there's these sorts of press conferences that happen where stuff gets delayed or there's like, why isn't something shown off?
Mm.
And when you're a bit more like currently reading and tapped into what happens behind the scenes with these kinds of things, it just does make you kind of see that in a different light.
Yeah.
Like reading these stories about how things get announced or not announced and it's just chaos behind the scenes.
Right.
And people working on these things are like, what are we even doing?
Right. We had no idea this was coming.
Teams aren't communicating with each other. But I wondered if it was something to do with the fact that there are so many more eyes on The Last of Us because of the TV series. There might be a lot of people coming to this and this is their first time interacting with a Last of Us game potentially, whether that kind of changes the stakes for them. Like it's not as simple as putting out a multiplayer version of this beloved world now and catching the people that were into the first two games. You've got, the franchise carries so much extra weight to it now.
Sure.
That I can imagine them going in the direction of, oh yeah, it's a multiplayer online, but then going like, well, wait, if this is people's first experience of interacting with a Last of Us game potentially after the series, this isn't really giving a good impression of what we do and the kind of thing that we make. I wonder if that's kind of changed how they've got to look at it.
It doesn't sound like it is.
No.
From this Bungie stuff.
I think that someone walked into like their, you know, their production room and went up to the whiteboard and wrote battle pass and then turned the S's into dollar signs.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I suspect.
It sounds like fucking ex-Master Chief has come and done that pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, why doesn't this game suck as much as fucking Destiny? Why can't we... anyway.
So imagine Joel flossing.
Well, that's it. I think people go, oh, the audience is so much broader and larger than it was before. Why don't we make a game like Fortnite that's really accessible and can be monetized really heavily?
I would imagine not in the style of Fortnite, more in the style of like the Tarkovy. They call them extraction shooters. I think it's that. Like, so it's not that they're making it goofier, but they're making it,
more money.
More money.
Which
more
at this point, if they had some story stuff woven in, I'd be interested to play the Naughty Dog version of that kind of game because they do make games really well, but I don't know that I need it to be... I'd rather it be its own new thing. I'd rather them have a crack at a completely fresh thing where they're thinking about that world from the ground up to satisfy those conditions that have to be in it rather than wedging it into the world of Last of Us, which is so, being able to dress Ellie up as Rick Sanchez and say, just, you know what I mean? It's so opposed to like this world that we've spent so much time with.
If you're thinking of it as the type of multiplayer game that maybe they've pivoted to according to these rumors, but them making a different type of multiplayer focused game that is heavily soaked in the Last of Us world and comes at it that way around where they're like, well, what does this gameplay and this world look like with a bit of story in the way that The Last of Us is like popular because of?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do we maybe make a new version of a multiplayer game with that idea? That is so much more interesting to me than any of the... Like, I don't have enough room or inclination for any other live service game, or really any to begin with. It's just not the way I like to interact with things, of having one massive... And listen, I don't mean this in general, but like, I can't have... just one person or game who I'm always, let's say, in bed with.
Right.
No, but like you want...
It's tough because those games, they require you having been... Like I'm still dipping in on Marvel Snap. They change a lot of stuff quite frequently in order to force you to... play it so much that you stay up to date with the meta. The meta is the thing that is the thing with these live service games where it's like, if you're not playing it every day, you lose track of how to be good at it because it changes often enough and it's just the way that they hook you in and you got to keep spending money. It's just fucking stressful. It's stressful. It's unnecessary when there's a million great single player games out there to play as well.
It's the same exhaustion that I think a lot of people have with like the MCU now, that it has like so much Disney content. Like that's become like a live service movie.
And you gotta watch the TV show. Like I'll talk about it on the our bonus episode this week. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and it's like, well, I'd seen 2 but I was lost at the start of 3. Like, well, that shouldn't be the case.
I
paid my ticket money.
I
paid my ticket money.
I do feel like the prime audience for those games of service things is younger people, is people where...
when they're free to play.
Exactly, you can start them. There's very little barrier to entry. And then if you're really loving it, you can maybe... you get the money from your parents for the subscription thing for the next couple of months or whatever.
Sure,
rather than constantly having to be buying $100.
To get the money from it, actually. I go and work for it, but sure,
But again, in my head, that's what the audience for these things is, which is sort of not the audience for the world of The Last of Us.
It's going to be more like The Division, though, right? It's like, or like a Call of Duty, something like that, where it's like, look, it's within the cohesive, mature universe of the game. I mean, there's just like you can buy multicolored gun paint.
Mature is like, you know, grittier maybe, but certainly.
If you're going to dispute that, I'll fuck your mum.
Like, playing Modern Warfare 2 last year and just every game starting with press 1 if racist. And then all these people go 1-1-1. You know, they're not.
God.
But so that, like, people already have them, though, is the thing with those.
True.
And even the massive ones, and there's been so many of these sort of, hey, it's the next big fucking pay all your attention to this game and then 3 months later you're like, pay all your attention to this game is shutting down.
Rumbleverse.
Because they also in this statement they said that, and then they said, we are also working on a new single player game that's a whole new thing,
yeah.
A new IP for us. Which so presumably they've got this Last of Us multiplayer and the and this new thing and Last of Us 3. Kind of all on the boil simultaneously. Yeah.
Although I think we have to assume Last of Us 3 will be after the TV show has got caught up with the games.
No. I wouldn't assume. I don't know. Like, I would. They said at some point that they don't want the show to get ahead of the games.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
Yeah.
Because the second game is over two series.
Yes.
And that's not starting, like the next season two of the show isn't starting until 2025.
Yeah, so
there's still presumably ages away until they get to the point of where the third game will
right,
be at.
Yeah. I just don't think they're going to deliberately do that as a like move or whatever. Mm. But I think they're viewing them as separate, but that three would be in pre-production right now.
Surely, yeah.
Factions was fun, which was the multiplayer thing from The Last of Us 1, and it would be annoying to me if this was
too
watered
much.
Down
yeah.
in the way that the default live service game template is generally applied to things, which I find exhausting.
Yeah, one of the best developers, and you just want to see what they've got next, and yeah, you don't want them to be sacrifice because yeah there's a million other companies that can do the games a service thing do it pretty
and they're
well
all doing it and like right. even if they're doing it well like the pan is flashed
yeah
I feel
yeah.
like with that type of thing for the moment
there's no need yes. for Naughty Dog to in my head there's no real need for them to do that like they can put out a new single player thing that is going to have such a cultural impact and make so much money because they're the
it.
Sorts
yeah,
of
yeah.
games that like everyone who has a console buys.
Yes.
So they don't need to do this as like the fail safe.
Everyone who has a PlayStation.
Everyone
I've
who
only
has
got
a
Switch and I bought The Last of Us 2 on disc
oh,
just
that's good for you.
To be in the conversation.
that's the other thing. Yeah, like their games make billions of dollars. They don't have to like pander to or lower themselves to this live service model. Like they've proven that. So
Yeah.
My gut, which, you know, there's enough of it to make a good prediction.
Sure.
Is
it's like the Martians in Mars Attacks, the giant brain. They must be really, really smart.
I've got a hell of an instinct. Yeah, I'm like one of those.
Your gut's like the octopus that picked the World Cup results.
Sure, it's disgusting.
Really smart? Oh, okay.
And it doesn't work properly. But I forgot what I was saying because I started thinking about that. The reason that this Bungie thing would have gotten out is because of disgruntlement and people wanting to go,
right.
Hey, here's why it fucking out. Because it isn't in the same tone as what the Naughty Dog statement was.
Yeah.
And I imagine if you were being told to retool a game that you had worked on for ages for the purposes of what some other fucking company reckons you should do to make money.
Well, plus, yeah, like I was saying, the whole... the view around The Last of Us has changed because of the TV show. And if you're working at that company, obviously Druckmann is involved in the TV show, but it's not like everyone who works at Naughty Dog is having a say in the TV series.
Yeah, I think
probably basically none of them are.
Well, because Bruce Straley, who was like the director of the first game, one of the two of them, was kind of iced out of the show. So
it's sudden, Druck and Mazin.
Yeah. So all of a sudden there's this whole other sort of, this franchise has been elevated into this other place and there's all these fresh eyes on what you're doing from this work that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
That, you know, you had no involvement in, which is now maybe kind of seeping into affect the way that you do things.
If that was the way it was happening, you'd be like the opposite of a witch. You'd be like, I hate these fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Which is love eyes to make potions.
Yeah. Newt.
What would dumb come?
What else? What else happened? Speaking of corporate disgruntlement.
Sure.
There was a great documentary that was released in the last week. I just realized I don't know who made it, the name of them. It's like People Know Games or something. It's a YouTube channel that will come up when you Google Disco Elysium 2. So they have done this big, like 40-minute, two and a half hour or something.
Who's telling the truth about Disco Elysium or something like that?
Sure,
it's a couple of fellas. They went over to Estonia.
They did,
to crack the case, which I love.
Proper
love
journalism,
this.
Boots on the ground.
It should have been Louis Theroux, honestly.
Oh.
So you're telling me that you can
just say sort of anything and the game will adapt around your choices in a realistic way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Louis. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So why would you choose to say that you're a white
supremacist? I love that Estonian accent you can do.
Or a John Ronson where it's like he somehow works the world of pornography into it.
So does Louis. He's done
Louis, they both, they both love it.
Once again, his first thought about this couch would probably be that same.
Introducing a collage mode. You thought that would be appropriate for this game about communism?
Does the game function on the Switch or are you just putting it on there as a... this
is a terrible Louis Theroux.
There's, no,
he's
it's
not
quite
a ghost.
Good. It's good. He is a ghost. So yeah, there's been a bunch of news reports about this company, ZAUM, I think it's called Zorm. Which is like was based in a sort of collective mindset. It wasn't a corporate hierarchical structure. It was very even. Everyone got a say. Everyone got paid the same, and everyone got the same credit.
That's sort of like Valve. Speaking
right.
of Valve, yeah.
Right. And it led to the creation of this very, very good game that had an intelligence and an ethos to it that you kind of don't see. Maybe because culturally, the people making games get sucked into sort of corporate, hierarchies. Anyway, great game. And then almost immediately after it blew up and was very successful, the company is imploding. There's I think the sort of allegation is that the creative lead was very overbearing. He was a bad boss. He was an overbearing boss, sort of toxic work culture. And then outside of that, like the business guy came in and tried to sort of like take it away and make it a bit more, again, like focused on money, focused on that classic, traditional corporate sort of ethos.
Social network style.
Yeah, and it's blowing up.
This is like every chapter in Press Reset. It's
right.
like, it's this is BioShock.
Right,
like,
right.
Crazy auteur director who, very abrasive, getting into fights with people a lot of the time, but churns out this great product that's very like idiosyncratic, just really one person's vision. But then, and the company being like, we've just put out an all-timer. Why are we folding now?
Right.
Well, after Infinite, I guess, but yeah.
I think that the issue is it was much more of a everyone working on it thought it was more of a shared vision and a shared, creative piece of work. Whereas this one guy is a bit of an egomaniac. And anyway, whatever the case may be, it's gotten very messy and it's gone to court.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking about this like a few months ago where they'd gone to court but it was all a little like, back and forthy and like... And I don't know if this thing that you watched has like clarified any of it. Or
I didn't watch the whole thing.
Right.
It's really long. And it's
like... It's very funny the difference between them flying to Estonia to go walk around and investigate this and you've been like, I'm not going the whole way through.
This is our masterpiece. But also the fact that it's just going on YouTube, it's like committing that section of your life to being like, we're going to do this hard-hitting journalism. And then you put it up and there's an autoplay ad for Hungry Jack's before it.
Yeah, yeah.
Something about that.
You can wear a crown all the time at Hungry Jack's.
I imagine they've turned... it's the kind of thing I would hope that they're crowdfunding for. It's like independent journalism.
People do great shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that if someone's crowdfunding their work, it's really good and you should support it if you like it. That's what I think.
Mm. In general, you're saying.
In specifically this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh! I didn't get that inference.
No, I'm recommending people watch this. I don't have all the details. I didn't do the investigation, but it just sounds like a mess. And the fallout is that this great company who made this great game, like for me, like top 2-3 games of all time, may not make a sequel because of all this shit.
Yeah, it seemed that way before when they'd like split and then half of them were going off to make a new company with the creative guy and, it's...
And it's like, because already, like I mentioned, they introduced or they added this DLC that is putting fucking emojis on your screenshots.
There's stickers and stuff. I remember that.
It's so anachronistic with what this whole game was meant to be about.
Yeah.
And this is, after that split has happened. And I think just the business guy is running things and doesn't have the same, creative vision. So it's a shame. They may not make the sequel and it's all still in court in Estonia. So watch the documentary. It was very dry, basically, is why I didn't watch the whole thing.
Fair enough.
If you want to know the details, you can.
It's cool that it exists.
Get a glass of water.
Yeah.
Sit down and watch it because it's very dry. The Gollum game they put out a statement about as well. Speaking of statement,
oh, they did a Phil Spencer and apologized for the quality of the game.
Yeah, we do need to say maybe there's people tuning in. We've certainly got a lot of messages about this during the week. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to hear you guys dunk on this bad game.
I'm getting hounded in the street by people. Genuinely.
By my ex-housemate.
Yeah. Hello, Pat, if you're watching.
Yeah, we just, none of us had any interest. Like, there is part of it to me where I am tempted because I kind of have a hard time seeing how it's that bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? I kind of can't quite believe that it's as bad as people say it is. Yeah, you're sneaking around as Gollum. I'm like, how is that a 2 out of 10?
There
are
a lot of games that are this bad that come out all the time, but I guess having the Lord of the Rings name attached to it is the thing that makes this.
And this has been one where from day one people have been like, why is this getting made? Yep. Who asked for this?
It's felt like the writing was a bit on the wall, similar to how Gollum can. He can't climb walls. I'm thinking of Spider-Man, but
he can ride on walls.
Yeah, I thought you meant he could ride on walls.
Like, no.
Yeah, he sure could.
All work and no play.
Children do it.
Yeah. But so the developer put out a game, comes out. A, people are hating it.
Yeah.
Just in terms of what it is mechanically. B, it's quite buggy. Mm. So they put a statement out. And I saw someone on Twitter did they'd screenshotted it and they've made like a collage of all of the ones of these that have come out over the last couple of years, like the Cyberpunk one, the Redfall one, we've put out something bad that people aren't enjoying.
Right.
But you really got a feel for this developer. They're relatively unknown.
It's hard to fucking make games.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
You're right. Like you say, like, go on the PlayStation, you know, the store and go through new games. There's just a lot of games that are like low budget. It's like a small team. They're not good.
Yeah. So many things get released. The majority of things that come out are bad.
Yes. Yes.
It was kind of funny, though, that they put out this statement apologizing for the quality of the game. And in that statement, they called the game The Lord of the Ring Gollum.
Yeah.
Which, like,
that's what I mean. Like,
boy, you must be when whoever hit send on that was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's what I meant, where you've got to feel bad for them. Like, they already, smaller, newer team. They make a game that they're already against the ropes. And then, even in apologizing, they bungle it. Can't catch a break. So they put it on Twitter, and then it's just every reply is just Lord of Ring.
It kind of maybe speaks to the level of attention to detail they put into all things they do.
Perhaps. Yeah, the fact that it was delayed so much and all that, but yeah, I've got no interest in playing that, unfortunately.
We prefer to play games that we enjoy. But and Gollum, we don't even have enough time to play all of those.
Yeah, but Gollum is only ever after the One Ring, isn't he?
Yeah.
So it kind of does make sense. He is the Lord of Ring.
He's the Lord of Ring.
He's not even the Lord. He's just a guy.
Yeah. But he wants to be.
Doesn't make sense, Tommy.
No, he wants to be Lord of Ring.
he's
getting
concerned.
A lot of zeros in the reviews. So that's the kind of ring getting. Yeah. My precious.
Lord of Ring, the employment office, and look for a new job.
Okay, now we're talking.
This game has tanked.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Now logically, this makes sense. what else? Alan Wake 2 is not going to be released on a disc.
Yeah, it's kinda digital weird. Only. It's like the first that I can recall. There's plenty of indie games that have come out digital only, but the first sort of
this is a Remedy though, right? Like, this is a big company.
The first kind of AAA-ish sort of game that I can bring to mind that is digital only, and they've said like, hey, by doing it this way, we can keep the costs down. We don't have to print those discs.
Shit's expensive these days as well. Like, maybe it's just necessary.
We at Remedy are really devoted to riling up a person by the name of Adam Knox. And that's why we're announcing today that this game will only be available for as long as there is a PlayStation 5 digital eShop.
No, get a load of this, though. Because they've done it after those discs I had broke, I'm all for it now.
He's back.
They'd have been.
You've realized the physical world is ephemeral.
They'd have been. I'd have been rinsing them like they were a warped disc.
Yeah,
but
you know, everything lives forever in the cloud, and unless it gets deleted.
Yeah,
but potentially it could.
It whatever, man. Fuck it all up from now on. Yeah, I've gone zen and I'm all right.
Okay. I like it.
So I had a look at it on the PlayStation store in Australia. Typically a new game these days is like somewhere between either $100 to $125.
Yep.
This one is $94.95, so it's not that much of a. But they were saying in order to keep it in, because we're keeping the disc costs down, we'll pass those savings on.
Okay,
it'll be cheaper than a regular AAA game, and they're not right. wrong, but sure. it's not significant.
I mean, it is better than if it was $125, because that means I just won't buy a game that's that expensive. I kind of assumed it was also like to put the money into developing the game. But I guess if they've literally said no, it's about.
They've said I think it's a bit of a
marketing angle.
Also, the benefit of it, that being the way that you're distributing, is that I would assume you're not as locked in to having it finished at a certain point. Which right. is giving you more time to polish and work out bugs, right? Because if you're having to worry about the disc, like all the packaging,
there's a shipping
being
date
made.
There's
your date is way further back. Whereas you could potentially, I would assume you can be working on the game up to much closer to the release date if it's only going out digitally.
Yeah, people do that anyway nowadays, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're making the patches anyway, so you're having there's less risk of the day one.
It's just the way we're going out. It wasn't even shocking to me. Everything will be digital at some point. There won't be discs on the next generation of consoles. Possibly.
I didn't even hear about it.
And people aren't really kicking up a stink or anything.
It's just the first of, like you say, what will be all games, I think. Right.
It's borderline an odd spot.
There's,
look at these loopy guys. No discs.
Oh, wow. There are still Blu-rays, but there aren't Blu-rays of every show that was put on streaming first.
Right, yeah.
And that's, I think you can get DVDs of Stranger Things and stuff like that these days. But like, it will they'll all be digital and then they'll all be streaming only, and it's just the direction that everything is headed.
Physical games
and
will
I've
only
gotten
exist.
On the trolley.
You won't you don't own anything now. And you'll be free because of it.
Exactly. I'm gonna live in a shack.
No, you can live in a big house, but you won't buy DVDs.
No.
You'll pass the savings on to yourself.
Shack only and digital PS5 and a good attitude.
But
that's my future.
You have just moved house, and this is a very common, you collect a lot of stuff, you box everything up, you go through all of that, and then you're like, oh man, I'm just going to Marie Kondo and never own anything. Never own any possessions ever again, but it's cyclical. Then you're like, you get your new play set up and you're like, you know what I need? A fourth bookcase for my toys.
I would love.
We'll put our toys in here soon. Yeah. We'll put them in our studio for people watching on the video.
Yep. I don't have any toys, man.
They're collectible
only.
Figurines.
Yeah, just all Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal toys everywhere in my wooden cabin.
I've got a Shaquille O'Neal jersey at home.
Do you really?
Yeah, one of my workmates when I was at a radio station went to the States and went to an NBA game, and the like giveaway with the ticket was a Shaq jersey.
In his size? That's the only way I'd want one. I want to be able to do that, like, year one parachute game underneath Shaq's massive jersey.
I think it's roughly my size, but it's like Shaq's name and number on the back.
Nice.
So we
nice.
Can put that on the wall.
Okay, great.
We won't.
We'll forget about this Shaq riff in about 30 seconds.
I forgot about it midway through. You know what I've never forgotten about, though? How smooth it's possible to get my balls to be.
I'm thinking about that pretty much 24/7.
Oh, that's invasive to my privacy.
They say you think about sex an average of whatever
every
times
7
it
seconds?
Is per day.
Yeah.
But it's like, in terms of thinking about that, the specific part of sex that I'm thinking about is how small my smooth my genital is.
Hello, Mr. Freud. Ring, ring. Yes, Mum. I mean, I can't believe that I ever bought the
that's
idea.
Good stuff.
Because that thing when I was a kid was ringing around the holes that men think about sex once every 7 seconds.
Yeah.
That's fucking insane. I can't believe I ever bought as a kid, like, I guess that's what I'll be like one day.
How did they arrive at that?
Yeah.
Just the fucking perviest guy in the world making up all the sayings.
Probably. That's always, like, Freud was the perviest guy in the world. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, you're saying that everyone wants to fuck their mum, or maybe that's just you.
Yeah. I think what it really is small penis. I mean, fake. Wrong.
Anyway, Manscaped make really good personal grooming products.
There's nothing fake about Manscaped. No. Genuinely the most well-built, high-quality grooming products I've ever owned. Love that Lawnmower 4.0. Love that Weed Whacker 2.0.
And let me tell you, you can get 20% off and free shipping if you use the code FILTHY when you're checking out with Manscaped.
Ugh.
It's worth doing. They're good things. Have a look. Use our code.
Yeah.
Get yourself a discount.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Good birthday present.
Fucking box your uncle.
Yeah. Good Father's Day present.
Yep. Whatever bullshit one's coming up next.
Valentine's Day.
Late Mother's Day.
Anzac Day.
It's Junipalooza. Come on in.
Yep. Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, that's real. That's a very different thing. That's nothing to do with Manscaped. And but 20%
late
off.
Star Wars Day.
Free shipping. Mm-hmm. And guess what else
I
use on a regular basis?
I reckon I can guess. Do you think you know?
I think I know.
All right. Do you want to say it at the same time?
Okay.
3, 2, 1, small
Nord
penis.
VPN. Oh, Ben.
Okay.
Ben.
That's really embarrassing for me.
One of you had that right, and the other one said NordVPN, which is a great VPN.
Yes.
You can use, once again, God damn it, if it ain't Deal City over here.
It's Deal Central.
There's.
Let's get a Deal Central sign and put it on the wall.
Oh, yeah, a little neon one that we can like flick on anytime we're doing the ads.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
The deal in this particular part of Deal Central Station,
yes,
is if you go to nordvpn.com/filthy,
mm-hmm.
You will get yourself a big discount, bunch of free months, all like you have a look at it there, I reckon. Go to nordvpn.com/filthy and see what you get, because NordVPN is also a great VPN that I recommend. And if you're using the internet, VPN is a useful
thing. It's the best one, yeah.
Protects you can watch stream content from other countries.
It's the only way to do it in the future. No yeah. Blu-rays.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the full series of Twin Peaks,
mm-hmm.
I guess season 1 and 2 on American Netflix because it is not on Australian Netflix.
Yeah.
And I did that using NordVPN. I just pretended I was in Austin, Texas.
Hey nice. There. I'm hey. Here for some Netflix.
Howdy, partner.
I do like that you get to choose the city.
Yeah.
That is pretty fun that you get to, you really get to role play. I pretended I was in the middle of Saigon last night trying to trick the good people at HalongBayTours.com into thinking that I was a local going on a 3-day cruise to get a better deal, and makes no difference.
No,
just
no.
FYI. For That's, that particular transaction.
Your mileage may vary, but you can cover a lot of mileage very quickly with NordVPN.
Mm.
Hey, you were role playing as being from somewhere else. If you like playing a role, you can play the role of one of 5 classes, I think, in the game. Yeah, it is 5.
Upper class, middle class, lower middle class, working class, and English
more.
Class.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
good.
Sure.
Good.
Yeah.
A funny one at the end.
Yeah.
Joke format. The rule of 5.
Yes, you can play one of 5 classes in Diablo 4.
By the way, someone with our YouTube video, someone said, haven't in terms of the framing of the shots, haven't you guys heard of the rule of thirds?
Mm.
And what they were talking about was like compositionally, but there was a moment where I thought they meant like comedically.
The rule of 3.
Like
threes.
I thought they meant the rule of 3, and I was about to be like, yeah, cunt, we know the rule of 3.
Yeah.
Listen to any isolated 3-minute section of the podcast.
Yes,
I know about comedy. I know the rule of 3s, pull back and reveal, and pants down on stage.
Yeah.
Proving that I know 1 and 2. And, to be fair, they also said, with all the love in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we love you.
And with all the love in the world.
Yes.
Is it a potato-potato situation with Diablo where it can be Diablo or Diablo, or are you mispronouncing Diablo?
I don't know.
I think it's Diablo.
It may well be.
Yeah,
It's surely, it's a Latin word, right? So
I guess for devil.
Yeah.
The Latin devil.
It's the Latin, that's what they call me, down at the old salsa class. However it's meant to be pronounced. The 4th one in the series is out.
God
damn. We played that early access weekend.
Yep.
I only played the first weekend, I didn't play the second. So when I played this release copy, review copy, sorry, I played the Necromancer class, which is my all-time favorite.
Yep.
My favorite from all the other games. It's a little bit of ranged, a little bit of summoning some skeletons, and apparently it was very overpowered in that second beta weekend.
I heard some stuff about a few of the classes that, like, I think Sorcerer was people going, like, yep, this is easy mode. And
yes. Barbarian apparently was, like, too hard. There was not as much of a focus in the game on, like, the effectiveness of melee combat. So I don't know if it's been changed since that, because that was a couple of months ago. But whatever the case may be, I had a great time playing as the Necromancer. So whatever they've done or not done to it, it's great. It plays like the class used to in the other games.
Sick.
And overall, it's a sick game. Like, it, we had a pretty much a solid experience with it on in the beta weekend, and it doesn't feel any different.
Yeah.
And it was great then.
And this one was like a pre-release, get reviewers in type of thing setting, where like not with the day one patch and everything they wanted noting, but that's cool.
And no, like, other people running around.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I didn't have that experience that we did of like people in your lobby, people in the hub world and stuff.
Are they, yeah, right. I, maybe it was also that there's just like
not enough
thinner on the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's like maybe 2-3 people in Melbourne reviewing it. So, yeah.
And one of them didn't have a fucking computer hooked up because he was moving for two. Oh, my God. Moving fucking sucks.
It really does.
If moving was as easy as it is in Diablo Solidarity, where the fucking you just click and move. God, I just want to put me in a box and make my brain the only thing that interacts with the world.
I thought you meant when you're moving house, put you in a box and everyone else just take care of it. Oh,
that'd be great too. If I could just fucking get a white glove service whose gloves are so fucking white
Mickey
that they
Mouse
will
style.
Pick me up as well.
Someone was telling me they moved a little while ago and they paid for the extra thing where the movers come in and they like pack the boxes up for you.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
Which sounds insane. I imagine I would find that so annoying to,
I'd hate
for
that.
Better or worse, at least like you know what box things are in or you've had your own system to it. That just seems insanely lazy to me.
Call up Ransack Movers today and they'll come and fucking rummage through all your shit and make you feel embarrassed.
No, I heard of a family friend where it's like the whole, it was a big family and they're like well off. So they're like, just come and pack our whole house up and move it for us.
Right.
Which, I mean, I can't afford it, but I also would, I don't mind the act of like, Marie Kondoing my shit before I move, going through everything.
And you know, you find little trinkets, little memories of people that perhaps aren't in your life anymore. You have your little breakdown as you're packing up houses. Yeah. It's all part of the process, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
you pick up moving. You pick up some loot.
Yeah.
Like you do in Diablo or Diablo 4.
You pick up some fucking thing and it's got 3 plugs on it and you're like, what the fuck is this for? When did I ever use this or buy? I swear I've never seen this before in my life.
I threw out all of my extra cables and shit the last time I moved.
I can't do it.
I'm a big
Oh, this might be necessary one day. And I don't keep the newspapers or the fucking cat food stacked up in my house.
Yeah.
But one day I'm going to be crushed by my box of cables.
I let go. I was like, I know I haven't used this in at least 2 years.
I'm a big one for getting rid of the travel adapters. I'm like, I'm sick of this taking up space in a drawer. And then a month later I'll book an overseas trip and be like, well, I'll be goddamned. Guess I'm spending $70 at the airport again for one of these plugs.
I only do that when I inevitably step on them.
Yeah.
And then they go through my foot and into the bin.
I've kept my Japan ones because I've been back 3 times. And I think I've got a UK one, which I'll be using on my upcoming UK trip.
Yeah.
I don't know where the UK is. Diablo 4, you played a bit of it.
I played a bunch of it.
The microtransaction store wasn't in there yet, too. That's the other thing.
That's it. So single player campaign only is fucking great. It feels like Diablo 2 thematically and aesthetically. It's very gross and grimy, which is what I preferred. As a longtime fan, like I played 1, you know, when it was out, like I was a kid playing it and it was
illegal.
I was underage. It was scary. It was a horror game, you know, it was gothic and dark and gross and, you know, disgusting, and blood was everywhere. And then I played the game. What rule is that? Or there should be a rule against it, probably.
Yeah, I think that's just a red circle with a line through it.
Yeah. So it's harkening back to what I view as classic Diablo.
A lot of people do too. Like the response to 3, especially aesthetically, was no thank you.
And I think all the reviews that I've seen so far as well, seem to echo that view. So maybe it's a generational thing, I don't know, but I prefer it, and I think it's done really well here. Like, level of detail is great. Cool. It runs well. There was a bit of lag in that beta weekend, but I assume, you know, that's been tweaked, and it ran perfectly fine. Like the level of sort of character in the quests and the story so far, like cutscenes look amazing, and in-game cutscenes have a bit of sort of motion to them, as opposed to those just statically clicking through text like you did in the other games.
There was I saw a quote. It may have been from IGN. It was just kind of like it was a tweet with the link to their review, and it said something along the lines of, "This game feels so good to play. It's so much fun. Our team is having such a good time playing it, and it is excruciating to pull yourself away from." It's like, wow, that is really laying it on thick. It feels excruciating to stop playing this.
Yeah.
People think the reviews of like Zelda get a bit too hyperbolic, but like I've never read anything like that before.
Diablo as a series, it's a clicker game, and people got addicted to cookie clicker. It's that sort of endorphin rush. It's that constant reward system, because it's like, you know, combat isn't hard, but it feels great. And seeing those little demons slump down and a pile of gold coins just appear with a little tinkle, it's all casino rules, you know, endorphin, dopamine rush stuff. And it's fun.
If you nail the sound effect of picking up
an
item, not to go back, but like, the Tears of the Kingdom, the little jingle that you're hearing when you're picking up a horn, it's just,
It's a huge deal. Like, I have a theory that Star Wars only got as successful as it was because of the soundtrack. And like multiple things, I think, if not only because of that, it is such a key factor that is overlooked all the time. A fucking TIE fighter going, like a fucking Monty Python lady. Like that is just so crucial.
That's a good video game doco. The like only focusing on the guy who's coming up with the one sound effect for when you pick up an item, because that's really got to give you that. That's really got to give you that little feeling.
There was a good one that was made. I don't know if it was by Sony, but about the woman who did the Foley for God of War. It was really interesting.
Cool.
Fuck, it seems like a sick job.
Oh, it was.
Just
figuring
out like what normal thing sounds like a dragon.
Mm.
A bell?
It's always a cabbage.
Yeah, there's often fruits and vegetables involved. But just like getting a bunch of metal and rattling it. And
That's a thunderstorm.
Oh, what a job.
I think the gold sound effect maybe is the same as the one in 1 and 2. Like, it is such a distinct, like, Pavlovian response that I have to it. It sounds really, really similar. The same thing when you, like, you know, click on a body and then you see, like, a bit of armor, like, becomes available. It's like this little, like, weird little turn. Like, it's all, really, like, hacking into my lizard brain, like, childhood memories sort of situation.
Cool.
But, yeah, overall, it's really fun to play. The, like, abilities and shit are very, like, you know, there's a massive skill tree that was very overwhelming. But also, like, I want to shoot bones at people. I want to summon skeletons. You know, you're just picking out these ones that you know, and you'll become more and more au fait with it the more you play. But, yeah, the ones I played with were really fun, well visualized.
I'm interested to see how, because we should be, I'd want to play the full thing.
Yes.
Which is out soon. And I'm interested to see with balancing those classes too, you've got to make it a single player game and a co-op game at the same time.
Yeah, yep.
So it's like a tall order. And I'm keen to play some co-op, I think. I've never really done that with any of the previous Diablo games that much.
Well, yeah, when we played that beta weekend, it was very simple. It was very easy to do. So taking out that, like, how do I fucking, do I got to add someone on, you know, this platform and then create a party? And
yeah, because we were on, like, PS5 and PC as well, so it worked smoothly.
Yeah, it did,
I'm looking forward to playing some of that.
Yeah, I think the only thing is, like, it's not, visually, it's detailed and you know, well-crafted, but it is very bleak. It is very grey. Even, like, the sort of jungly, swampy bit is, like, drab green, you know.
Right.
It's not, even though I specifically don't want it to be, like, a fun kid version or whatever, it could use a bit more
a
little bit. But, you know, if you enjoy that one note of running around wooden buildings with flaming torches and fucking demons to hack, then this is the song for you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
you know what's
C major.
C major.
It's good.
Oh, that's not a note.
Well, but still.
C.
If you have to be stuck in one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. An angel chorus.
One note.
I'd call this an A.
So at the bottom of the scale, the highest possible score would be G sharp.
Yeah. No, A is my favorite note. So
that's so good.
Yeah.
A video games website where you rate on a musical scale.
Yeah.
Just the little gold like thing that they have on like the Metacritic must play, but you've just got the G sharp in the middle. No, people who don't know music theory just being like, is this as high as it goes?
Yeah. We fuck it up even more by saying A flat is the lowest possible score. And then people go, but G sharp isn't A flat. And we're like, yeah. Be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah. It matters, man. It's all a loop.
Yeah.
Not quite up the top. G sharp minus.
It's actually 11 cents off.
Tell me, you're not allowed to write for this website because you don't understand music.
G sharp minus is funny. The other game. So the only thing I've really been playing. And you said not to talk about more, but Tears of the Kingdom's still fucking good, man.
Yeah.
I'm fine to talk about it more. I just was like, we're doing what we did with Breath of the Wild, which is fine.
Where
it starts to seep into everything else you're talking about.
Hey, yeah.
I can't wait to compare it to Street Fighter VI next week.
It is, Tears of the Kingdom, a big difference, like, in terms of the fucking canon of video games or whatever. Mm. I don't know if... Like, building's been done so much for so many years by so many things that I don't think this has the same thing where Breath of the Wild did, where we'll be comparing it to everything, I hope. Because it did get tiresome to be like, well, Breath of the Wild did this when you talk about Watch Dogs or fucking whatever later on.
Because, Fortnite already has done building.
Minecraft did it. Heaps of things. But it's just so fucking fun, this game. I've only really had my Switch to go for.
Right.
And so I've been just fully going it whenever I can.
There's been more. I'm still seeing new interesting things people have built, where it felt like first week, obviously people make their big penis robots, and now that people have got that out of their system, someone's built like an air bike thing.
Yeah.
People have made these things where you can go upwards infinite. A combination of... I saw one that uses a combination of electricity and Zonai charges and stuff to be able to make a thing that can just... go as high as the map possibly allows.
You can use the cooking pots as a ball joint, basically, because they apparently rotate on there a little bit, and people have been making fucking...
Wow.
And I love that the game is designed with the seemingly with the mentality of fuck it up.
Yeah.
I know, and they kind of already have a degree of this with the amiibo functionality. I know that what I'm about to propose... doesn't really fit with the immersion of the game. Okay. Maybe it'd be cool if it was something you could unlock after you've beaten the game as DLC, but I would love the ability for people to make a QR code or whatever of the build that they've made.
That's a great idea, yeah.
So that you can scan it, because it's like, I just don't have the brain for putting that together myself, even if you did spell out the instructions for me. And obviously you wouldn't want to be able to do it from day dot, because it might make the game a bit easy. But if it was like, after a certain point, you've done everything... Maybe after the final boss, if they did it as a DLC thing where it's like, now you can share these
recipes,
robot things and go and just traipse around the world to clean up the last little bits of side quest stuff.
Even if they just make a thing in a DLC where it's like, this is the experimentation cube and you go into this cube and then you can do fucking whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, like a separate portion. That would be
cool. Because a lot of these videos I'm seeing, it's like, I want to have a go of that, but... I'm not going to be at... Someone made a torture machine sort of car thing that's moving along, and it's open at the front, and then it's got three walls, and on two sides there's spikes that are on the spring-loaded things.
Yeah.
It's like you're just scooping people up, hitting it, and then it's going and just crushing them in the middle, and it's like... I want to have a go at that. Mm. I don't know. I can see what's on it, but I bet if I try and make it myself, I'll get it wrong. I just want that in my game right now to have a go at.
I tried to make that little hover bike that I saw, which was, three pieces,
two
fans and a steering wheel, and I just couldn't get the angles the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was always flying a little worse than it looked like in the video I saw. So
That would be sick to be able to,
because the auto build thing does have the schematic, like you can find.
Yes,
it gives you a little plan when you get it. It does have some preloaded stuff in it, so maybe that is something that they could do with DLC. It's like, here's a bunch of stuff that we're adding into the auto build that's like some of the best stuff that we've seen or that the developers made. Here's 10 new little contraptions that you can just make.
Sharing them, chuck some market in there where like where you can share them between people online. That's a
Mario Maker style. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the DLC for the expansion stuff for Breath of the Wild was great. So I'm keen to see if and what they do for that.
Mm.
And how irritating it will be that it's only on the Switch 2 and you got to spend $100 again to get the but whatever, man.
If the Switch 2,
that's the world I live in now, it's okay. My Jack will be fine.
If it provides higher resolution and stable frame rate, I will buy it and I'll play this on it, because
don't let them know that.
I'm
it's like we're buying a house and you've got to walk around and be like, this place is shit.
Yeah.
I hate this dump.
No, but you're not allowed to say Tears of the Kingdom is bad because people will abuse you online.
Well,
because it's like it the frame rate is terrible in a lot of it. Like I'm in bits now where there's like rain and thunder and you're platforming and you're like, and it's just chugging like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because I love it. And so, yeah, I think between now and last week, I found out my playtime was 45 hours, but that was like 5 days ago, and I've been playing it a lot more. Like, I've played a lot of this game. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I just wish it was better.
I wish that the clearly the technical
limitations,
their imagination is greater than the box they're working within, for sure. And like some of the stuff of like, if you walk a bit away, and I've seen other people say the same stuff of like, you walk a little too far away from your invention and it will disappear
within
a pretty short distance.
Yeah, if you've got a little car that you've made parked outside a shrine, when you come out of the shrine, it's gone.
And the thing is, it's so fun going on those long adventures, like in the depths. I've been doing a lot of exploring down there with like a vehicle. And it's a shame to have to be like worried about your car the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I think just knowing that, I mean, surely within the first year of their next console, these games will come out again. Whether it's a patch, whether it's buying them again. I think just in the back of my head, I've been like, there's some performance stuff here, but like, I'll be playing these again at some stage, up-resed. It doesn't really matter. But there are a lot of things, even just with the shrines, how there's that cool little effect that I don't think they even had on them in Breath of the Wild, where when you find the shrine, there's the little kind of like portal into it that opens and Link kind of walks through and then it cuts to a loading screen. If that was like Ratchet and Clank style where it was just seamless straight through. But even that being said, like they do a pretty good job of it with the ascend ability, like you can be deep in a cave and then go up, and it does keep you on that holding screen for a little bit, but that still feels like a good in between of like, that's basically a loading screen, but it is working out where you are on the map and having to like build the whole map around you. And it, and even at its longest, it never takes too I'm really impressed with how that I thought that
same
might
with the
really
loading
feel
screens.
Like that really might feel like it took you out of it, but it does. I kind of like that thing too where it's like the little, he's sort of swimming through the material. Yeah. Like they do a really good job of covering the gaps with that.
I really think all the technical stuff is very impressive for where it is.
Yeah.
And it's just because it's doing that, it's just getting into a bit where it's like, hey, there's too much and it's chugging. But it's not. But again, it's not breaking at any point. People aren't flying around the screen or anything that. It's just
crazy how much all of those crazy ideas people have been having have held together. And it, like, how hard it is to break the game is really confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know how they have made it so well when it just isn't what happens most of the time. It's just a really well-made game.
I think I probably appreciate it more if I ever went in hard on that building stuff, because most of the time I'll be like, and it provides it for you. You're like, I mean, when you're in the depths, you're like, oh, there's another light route over there. Oh, but there's all this gloom, and then there'll be like, you know, a pre-built, what are they called? Fan boat.
Right.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, I'll just hop in that and I'll go over there. Like,
or the pieces to make it.
All the pieces to make it.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's like, here's a car with one wheel missing.
Yes.
And then you, there's a wheel right there.
Yeah.
And which is fun still. Which like, is, I'm
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Stuff,
yeah. Like, and it's like,
that's almost good enough for me to be like, oh, this is cool. You can drive around on this thing until your battery runs out.
I'm a bit the same. I'm not doing too much. I'm never really going out of my way to make stuff just with the what I've acquired. When there's basically a whole thing there built that you just have to reassemble, I might just kind of do that and then drive it for as long as I can. But it's rare that I'm in the middle of nowhere being like, oh, yeah, let me dick around and, make a little car from scratch.
Yeah.
It's a long time into the game before you really start having enough of those resources to do that.
Right.
So, like, it's something that I think will give this game long legs. As well, like a fucking Dali giraffe.
Ooh.
It's going to just be striding around in my nightmarescapes for a long time. Because, like, more than I played tons of Breath of the Wild. I fucking went and got all of those Koroks like an idiot, just looking up a little map on the internet and going like, okay. And it wasn't that fun, but there was something about how good that game was where I wanted to wring every drop out of it.
Yeah.
This has so much of that creativity stuff on top of that.
Yes.
That there's so much more to reason to keep playing this game that I'm really excited for. Playing another fucking 100 hours of this thing or whatever. It's such a weird thing for me because I move on from stuff.
The number of Koroks that were hiding just under rocks, particularly there's a few of them here again, but like mostly in Breath of the Wild where you would pick up a rock and then you were always looking for that beautiful moment right after you've picked it up where it kind of like pauses and locks.
Right.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, hell yeah. Dude, if you pick it up and it comes up with throw immediately, you're like,
totally. And if you're going around and doing that, which wasn't the way the game was designed, you weren't meant to get all of them. But like if you were doing that, there was a lot of that repetition and I haven't found that at all in this
one. Just even switching
it up to
like the...
There's a lot of the guys sitting around being like, my friend's lost.
Which that is like, it's like the guy with the signs. It's basically the same thing, but... There's always enough, like the terrain might be slightly different or what's near you might be slightly different.
It's a bit unique every time.
And it's like, well, do you want more inventory slots? If you do, go and do these tasks. Yeah. If you don't, just ignore it.
And there are so many more of those little things of like of reasons to accomplish things in it.
Because it assumes
so good
that you know the map and so it is... dotted around with so much more, so many more things like the Koroks where it's like, I'm on my way to just explore or do this. Oh, well, I guess I'd better, this guy needs to find his friend. I guess I'd better go take him over there. And then in doing that, you weren't going to go that direction. Oh, there's a shrine there. And what's that thing? Like, it just is really doing a good job of assuming like, okay, we don't have the benefit of you just wanting to explore for the sake of just seeing every part of the map.
Right.
So it's almost like they've put together a little line by line. This is going to lead you to here. This is going to lead you to here. This is going to lead you to here.
They give you the memories to go find.
Yep.
They give you, they're like, and I haven't done this at all, the little slabs with like the zoni shit on it where they're like all, you know, they're like early on, they're like, look, there's a reason to go here.
Yeah.
And then like you say, you'll chain them together through exploring them.
It's great.
It's very well done.
It's a lot denser than the first one was. And just a big shout out to my close personal friend Link.
You've done it again.
I can't remember if I've said this on the show or not, but there is something about...
No, you said small penis earlier. Yeah,
okay, thank God that's out there.
Yeah.
There's something about the way these guys make games where even a game by a bigger Western studio that I'm like a AAA that I'm immersed in and really enjoying, there is still like a small part of me where I'm very aware, oh, this was made by a team of people. Like I can kind of visualize a room of people putting this together. Okay. But there's something about a game like this and like a lot of things that Nintendo make for me personally where it almost feels like an alien artifact that has just appeared perfectly formed. Does that make sense? Like I feel like with a lot of other stuff, even if I am lost in it, I can sort of – I'm thinking like, oh, I'm engaging with – a piece of technology that a company has made. A team of people came into work every day.
This was a calculated piece of work. Yeah.
But there just is something about the way the sheen that Nintendo have on things that for me makes it feel like it's
this organic just, thing almost.
Yeah. It's like a mineral. Yeah. It just exists. Yeah. Like it's not
just so polished.
I think
I don't think about a room of people going into work every day for 6 years and thinking about all this stuff because it just feels so natural and perfectly realized.
You're not seeing the seams. When you if you ever take apart like a really well made piece of furniture or electronic thing or whatever, and it's so weird to open it up and be like, fuck, it's just normal computer shit in here inside of this table that I've taken apart.
Yeah.
But like it's that same feeling. It's just so well made that it seems like just a rock.
When you're a kid watching a movie, you don't think about the lighting, you don't think about the cameras, you are immersed in it. You just experience it, which is, I think the same feeling. Yeah.
Maybe there's something to do with like on a PlayStation 5 game that's a AAA title, you're thinking about, oh, well, I know they do motion cap for this and I know this person did this vocal performance, but because this has more of a like impressionistic, cel-shaded, you know, none of that's there. So you're not thinking about, oh, yeah, there would have been a guy with little things rigged up all over him to get the animation of Link running. And, like, you're not really thinking about someone in the vocal booth doing the performance of, oh!
Like, no, that you know, one that I am.
Really, you are? They're okay. I'm not. I feel like that's just, the game is just making noises.
No, yeah. Those ones especially are so weird to me, but I can't help imagining someone having to go,
You know what I was doing the other night was the guy in the village who dyes your clothes.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yes. Why does he look like a fucking goblin?
It's so funny that you're hearing that from that guy and you're like, this just exists.
I just find
it's like a mountain stream.
Well, I guess it's a new element.
It's hard to imagine a person's job being to go into a room.
Yeah.
Like an actor going in and that being their performance.
Brother,
like,
that's your job right now.
Yeah.
We're living the dream. I know what you mean. And it's like, it's just such a well-made game that other than sometimes in the depths, I'm feeling a little bit of that like Lost Izalith feeling from Dark Souls where it's like, boy, you really just went, drag this out a little further and it's a big empty space.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Like it just, none of it is like not making me have fun
in
this game at the moment. So I just wanted to bring it back up and keep saying, if we haven't made enough of a point of it already, Tears of the Kingdom's pretty all right.
Well, Tommy said we're not allowed to, so you have to edit this out.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, let's leave it there for this week. We will be back next week. Street Fighter VI is out tomorrow. We're all looking forward to playing that.
I'm pumped for that.
I'm looking forward to playing the remake of that second Katamari Damacy. Had never played any of those games until the remake of the first one, which I loved. So I'm looking forward to dipping back into that weird little world. And I think there's something else that none of us could remember that was maybe out in the next week.
Final Fantasy comes out soon.
Yeah.
Diablo we talked about.
System Shock Remake.
Yeah, that's out now. I'm
not sure if we'll play that, but we'll see what people say.
Hey, maybe.
I might finish Tears of the Kingdom story before next week.
Ooh.
And so I'll come on and spoil it. So everyone tune in for that.
I've booked an overseas flight that I'm deliberately like, well, I can't have wrapped up Tears of the Kingdom before that.
Oh, yeah.
That'd
be
silly.
Yeah.
We booked this and we had to like get a stopover on the way there that added a bit of time to the travel. And the people I'm going with are like, oh, it's a bit of a shame. And in my head, I'm like, brother, that's just 4 more hours in Hyrule. That's heaven.
You got to get your girlfriend that PlayStation remote play thing so she can play Hogwarts Legacy there.
It was meant to be out on Switch by now. Oh, I think it was meant to come out in July and it's coming out in November now, which I don't really know how they're going to get that game to work on the Switch. But and also delaying it by that long doesn't like seems to point to the fact that maybe they're having a hard time getting it to run. Sorry, guys, no broomstick riding in the Switch version. who cares about that anyway?
Yeah.
That's not that fun.
I enjoyed walking around Hogsmeade talking to people.
We'll be back next week. Please get on the Patreon.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow if you get on the Patreon. Mm. We'll be talking about some things we've watched recently.
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy as well.
Yeah, we'll be dipping in on the MCU and a couple other movies that I've seen recently.
And two big finales of TV shows.
Oh, God, that's right.
Filthycasuals.com.au. Check out the YouTube channel. We're putting videos of the episodes up every week so you can watch them full in video if that's the way you like to engage with this stuff.
Occasionally we're chucking up some reviews and previews or like, you know, early thoughts videos as well that are like more traditional scripted video content.
So. We want to get ourselves on Metacritic.
That's right.
Speaking of how you're not allowed to dislike Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes.
Remember there was that guy who reviewed Breath of the Wild and was responsible for the Metascore going down by 1 point?
Yeah, gave it like a 60 or something.
People
went
crazy at him.
Yeah.
That could be us.
Yay. We need the press. All news is good. No.
Yeah, all news is good news.
All news is good news.
check all that stuff out, guys. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening or watching, and we will see you next time, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Pirate Plan Diablo is Yo-Ho Diablo.
Mm.
Yo-Ho-Ho Diablo. You need to have been in Australia in the 90s to and have brain damage to enjoy that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.